What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, hello, everybody. And welcome back to my show, What the Health. This is the show where we discuss everything under the health and wellness umbrella. Fitness, nutrition, skincare, self-love, and there's always some new myth or trend in one of these areas being discovered in the world of TikTok. You know what? I think to myself sometimes, I wonder if all these trends would have been discovered if TikTok hadn't have been invented. Because, like, there always seems to be something new going on. Would we just not see them, or would we just not think of them? Or is there now just a demand for a new trend and topic every week? What do you reckon? I suppose we'll never know, because TikTok is taking over the world. So every week we will talk to some exciting guests on discussing their positioning in the wellness industry, their opinions on hot topics in their field, and basically pick their brains so we come out a little bit smarter. I feel like I come out a bit smarter every week. I feel like I've learnt loads, to be honest. And it's definitely changed my opinion on some things. And I've definitely been inspired by some of the guests. Well, not by some of them, by all of the guests that we've had on. So make sure, if you haven't listened to them already, go and listen to some of our previous episodes, because there's some gold in there. And today's show is no different. This week, we have the incredible Kaz Crossley on, my fellow former Love Islander. Oh, yo, back in their day. And we also have Sabi Kerr, who is a self-love coach, so can't wait to hear about all of her incredible things that she can teach us. And we also have Dr. Karan, an NHS surgeon and content creator, which I am so excited to talk to, because I can't even create content as a content creator, and she's an NHS surgeon, so how the bloody hell does she find time to do that? But listen, guys, at the end of... At the end of the day, sorry, I can't see you. At the end of the day... At the end of every episode, we talk about your fitness questions. So being part of your fitness journey, if you want me to answer any of your burning desired questions, then please send them over to me and I will answer them on next week's show. So first and foremost, though, Dr. Karan, hello. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you doing?
I'm good, love. Thank you so much for coming on today's show. Happy Tuesday. So I, first of all, want to know how you find all the time in your day to be an amazing NHS surgeon and a content creator. What the health?
Yeah, it's difficult. I've actually just finished a night shift, so I'm going to go to sleep right after this. So
oh,
I don't know. Sometimes I question myself how I find the time. But I think if surgery's taught me anything, it's how to be ruthless with time and just be very decisive. So hopefully it's a bit of that that's rubbed off on me.
I'm so grateful that you managed to give us some time after, you know, your big long night shift. So yeah, thank you for coming on the show. That is, I'm very privileged. So let's go straight into it then. I won't keep you long. Why do you think there's so much misinformation on the internet? Is it because there's just so much time for people unlike you?
I think people tend to gravitate towards sensationalism rather than sanity and facts, because science, although it's amazing, and health and medicine, it's really fascinating, a lot of the stuff is pretty boring. You know, if you're talking about how to improve someone's health, people don't want to hear the boring stuff, like sleep more, exercise more, get more fiber. That's the boring stuff. And unfortunately, the boring stuff works. But people like to look at shortcuts, the fantastical things, like take this supplement, it's going to improve your life by X, Y, Z. And that's why people love misinformation, because it sounds sexy.
Yeah, quick fixes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So is that why you started debunking some of these myths on social media?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I see a lot of patients with a variety of things, mainly abdominal related issues, because I'm a gastrointestinal surgeon. And over the years, I've seen the same stuff, which has reared its head in social media, some misinformation that I've seen the same patients, you know, tell me back in clinic. And I'm like, wow, that is the, you know, how insidious social media is and how misinformation can come into the real world. So I thought, actually, you know, hang on, it may be worth my time extending myself into the online space to debunk some of that misinformation.
Yeah, we need more people like you out there, because every time I go on to any social media platform, there's always something that contradicts something else that I've seen earlier that day or early in the week. And it's like, for someone, you know, I feel like I know a lot because fitness is my job. But as somebody that is kind of new to all of this, it probably is quite confusing. And people think, well, hang on a minute, should I be doing HIIT to lose all this weight, or should I be doing resistance training, or, you know, gut health is actually a thing, or can I just eat whatever I want? So fully with you on that.
Yeah, there's so many different experts. It's hard to know who to believe.
Experts. Yeah. So can I ask you, what is the craziest health myth you've ever come across?
Oh, it's a tricky one. There are so many out there. I think one of the most ludicrous health myths that I've seen people tout online is about parasite cleanses, where, you know, if anyone's got a dog or a cat or something at home, they know that occasionally you need to give your dog some deworming pills, like a parasite pills or whatever, to clean the dog of its intestinal parasites, because they, you know, they sort of roam around, they eat anything. Humans don't need any parasite cleansers because we usually don't harbor parasites unless you're living, you know, in a third world country, or you're drinking contaminated water or eating contaminated meat. There will be symptoms and signs of parasite infection. But people online claim that you can buy these parasite detox pills or powders, and you need to take them on a regular basis to flush all these toxins out, lose weight, improve your gut health, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. And it's usually just a big multi-level marketing scam.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I think what I would say is that instead of doing all these parasite cleansers, just have some probiotics, guys. Don't be taking all these. What do you think about probiotics? Would you agree?
Probiotics, I would say the consumer grade probiotics that you can buy in the supermarket over the counter is probably more hype than health. Because I don't think we're at the level in science to say this person needs this specific strain of bacteria for their health, because our microbiome is so diverse and unique. Like, your microbiome is completely different to mine. So a probiotic that would work for you may not work for me. So the one size fits all probiotic from over the counter or in the supermarket may not work for everyone.
Okay, so in that respect, we probably should just have the, as people say, the well-balanced diet and all the diverse fruits and vegetables, and that's what's going to give you all those probiotics and things that your body needs. Because your body is smart, right? It'll hold on to the stuff that it needs more of, or things that it needs less of. I assume it'll just, like, get rid of. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, your body can only store a certain amount of nutrients most of the time. So anything above 100% of vitamin C, for example, you know, it's kind of not needed by your body. And like you said, probiotics taken from whole food sources, yogurts, fermented foods, that's the ideal source of getting your probiotics.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to ask you a few quick fire health myth questions then. So, first of all, are you ready? We have, does cracking your joints give you arthritis?
No, there is plenty of evidence to suggest otherwise. It doesn't at all, no.
Oh, I hate it when people do that, though. It goes right through me. Only, you know, people are like, can you crack me back? I'm like, absolutely not. Does sleeping with wet hair give you a cold?
Nope. So colds are usually caused by viruses, and there's no science to suggest that a cold or wet hair can give you a virus.
It's probably just it's not ideal, is it? If you're already cold, and then you're probably just asking your immune system to be like...
I mean, if you go to sleep with wet hair, you increase the risk of scalp fungus forming. That's the only thing I would say.
Oh my God, nobody wants scalp fungus. Okay, fine. Is starve a fever and feed a cold actually true? I feel like all the nans out there are like, yes.
I would say that whether you've got a cold or a fever, you should feed it, because basically your body temperature is going to be higher when you're unwell, because your immune system is fighting off the bacteria. So if you've got a temperature, your body is in a state of breakdown. It's in a catabolic state. So it needs more protein and nutrients and calories. So feed a cold, feed a fever.
Love that. And this one's a good one for all my ladies. Well, and men as well. Does eating carrots make your skin glow?
Sort of. If you eat excess carrots, the beta carotene, the pigment, natural plant pigment in the carrot, can actually sit in the fatty layer, in the subcutaneous fat layer of your skin, and actually give it a sort of orangey glow. That's in excess. So if you're eating like loads and loads of carrots per day for several days and weeks, it can actually cause that. It's not harmful, but it's probably not a good idea to do that.
You heard it here first, though, guys. In the lead up to summer, get your tan through carrots. Okay, and lastly, do you really eat spiders in your sleep? fingers crossed that this is not true.
Very unlikely, because the amounts of snoring and the breath and the humidity and the warmth that humans would give off would probably frighten spiders away. So unlikely.
Okay, fine. Well, that's good. I'm glad about that. So let's talk about your book then. This book may save your life. Congratulations on releasing that last year. Can you tell us a bit more about what it's about?
So basically, it's a compendium or a survival guide to the human body. I talk about how the human body is designed to destroy us in so many ways, and how we can offset the damage and sort of basically live better lives with really simple, sustainable habits and evidence-based science hacks, instead of giving, you know, really unsustainable random advice like, you know, you got to drink kale smoothies at 5 o'clock or do yoga. All those things are great, but most people can't do that on a regular basis. But I talk about simple habits and health hacks that people can do on a daily basis to improve their life.
Amazing. I actually spoke to someone a few weeks ago, and they're creating a pill for older people to take that's going to help relieve plaque around your heart, which is exciting, obviously. But I suppose prior to that, there's probably things that we could do that you would suggest in your book that would help that not happen or prevent it.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, the people often, you know, the holy grail of medicine is preventing a disease before it happens. And I think having those simple habits, like, you know, simply people look at like an all or nothing philosophy. They say, okay, if I haven't gone to the gym for 1 hour, okay, you know, forget it. I'm just going to have an off day. But actually, even walking a few thousand steps is better than walking 200 steps.
Exactly.
Or having a little bit of fiber is better than having no fiber. So it's about small changes which build up over a matter of weeks and months and years.
Yeah, exactly. The accumulation is better than just like not doing it at all, or always saying, oh, tomorrow. Okay, so you are still a full-time doctor in the NHS. Have you ever been tempted to give it up and do content creation full-time?
I've sort of glanced over at that greener grass, but I don't know. I really love surgery. And ultimately, I think if I gave up surgery and just did social media, I would have a huge scalpel-shaped hole in my life where I think I'd miss it. So, you know, I do enjoy it, but it is stressful. So maybe in the future, but that's a very long time away, I think.
Well, I think you're doing a good job of doing both of them. And also, the grass is not always greener on the other side, I promise you that. It's a lot of work, but without a scalpel. God, no one wants me with a scalpel. Okay, so according to the General Medical Council, tens of thousands of doctors are hoping to quit the NHS and move abroad this year in search of better pay. Does this concern you as a doctor?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we're at a time in the NHS where it's really, you know, creaking, and it has been creaking for a number of decades. And the main issue is staff retention. So if we've got a lot of, you know, helpful, you know, very talented staff going, that's not only doctors, but nurses and physios and pharmacists and everyone in the NHS leaving, we're going to have a huge problem with recruitment and the workforce. And we've got an aging population. We've got a growing population. Mm. We need healthcare to be, you know, number one. And the NHS for a number of years, number of decades has been, you know, envied across the world, but it needs more support financially and also just bodies as well.
Yeah. Well, hopefully people don't leave us, because we need you guys. Thank you so much for sticking around. And also thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you. Go and get some sleep now. Thank you for joining us when you should be asleep right now.
Thank you very much.
Have an amazing day, love. Speak to you soon. What an amazing chat. And I think the fact that he's deciding to stick to being a doctor rather than being a content creator is an absolute credit to himself, because as he said, he thinks the grass is greener, but it's not always the case. And we need him in the NHS, clearly. Right, so moving on to Gabby's exercise of the week, which is, drum roll, hip thrusts. The baby of building booties. Right, so in my opinion, hip thrusts are the best glute-focused exercise to grow your glutes. Obviously, in combination with other things. So if you saw my Instagram post yesterday, you would have seen that you need a shortening exercise in there, a lengthening, lateral, isometric movements. But hip thrusts are a great way to start in order to grow your glutes. You've got to ensure that your foot placement is in the right place. If it's too far, so think about it. If you're lying down and your foot's too far away, it's going to encourage the hamstring to take over, and if your foot is too close to your bum, it's going to encourage the quads to take over. So the sweet spot is making sure that your shin is perpendicular to the floor when you're in at the top of the rep in that full position with your glutes squeezed within an inch of your life at the top. There's so much you can do with them. Like, we have the dead stop, which is all about power, driving through the floor, getting up there. You'd probably be able to go as heavy as you can in the dead stop hip thrust. But you also have constant tension, which is great for building endurance and strength. And then also you have the cast bridge, which is essentially a pulse, which is amazing for isolating the glute muscles, building strength, and of course, getting those gains, baby. It's great for stability too. So if you haven't been doing hip thrust, I know it can be a bit of a complex. I'm the same. I never used to do it in the gym because the racking up of the bar is just a bit like, oh God, I feel like everyone's looking at me. I can assure you that they are not looking at you building that bar, but they will be looking at you with your big booty once you've got thrusting. So build that into your next booty day. I'll speak to you soon after the break. We have Kaz Crossley. I can't wait to speak to her. She had the most amazing weekend. She shaved her head. Let's find out why. See you soon.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
FUBAR Radio presents
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Joining me now is Millie Gooch, author and founder of Sober Girl Sobriety Society. I need to know what is so bad about dating sober.
I think it's just terrifying when it's something that you're not used to, because when I was drinking and dating, you know, like, you use it to calm your nerves, you use it for confidence, you rely on it. And I think that's the one thing I realised when I stopped drinking is how much I really relied on alcohol. I was always kind of saying, you know, like, oh, I'm not dependent on it. But for my confidence, I was really. But I also think there's so many benefits to it. Like, I used to go on so many dates when I was drinking, I'd be like, they are the one. And then I'd meet them like a few weeks later sober and I'd be like, we've got nothing in common. What was going through my mind? I'd be like, oh, it was because I was drunk.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
Harpreet, how are you, my love?
I'm great, thank you. How are you? It looks fun in there.
I want to talk about this because obviously you met your partner on The Apprentice. When did you start to get that feeling, I'm into him and this is more than just a banter or a friendship? Because it's a close environment being on a show like that, isn't it?
I really wish I could sit here and give loads of juicy gossip. Actually, we used to secretly meet in the laundry room on the show, but we didn't. And when I actually last spoke with yourselves, I think it was right after I'd won, we weren't even flirting, never mind dating. First time that I thought I actually fancied him was when I watched him on TV and I watched episode one. Hang on. You know, he's actually really good looking.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
And joining me in the studio, we have Deputy Leader of the Green Party, Zach Polanski. Zach, thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping, Zach?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
So you're hoping for four MPs in the general. You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's absolutely the minimum at what we're
I don't want to be Piers Morgan here, but will you take out, I don't have £1,000, will you take a £100 bet with me that you'll get four MPs?
Well, I do everything in politics to talk about the harms of gambling, so for me to place a bet on there would be pretty,
you know,
pretty horrendous.
Before we had you on, we discussed with the producers as to whether I should do the bet joke. And I said I would, because I had every faith that you would answer it in the way I expect a politician of any moral standing.
We should also talk about cryptocurrency, which also is very problematic.
Rishi, if you're listening, mate, that's how you answer a betting question.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. Well, hello and welcome back to What the Health. This week, I'm joined by the incredible Kaz Crossley, former Love Island star and influencer. Hi, babe.
Can you see who I'm with?
Yes.
Get off me.
Oh my gosh.
Ziggy.
Hi, baby. What's his name?
Ziggy,
cool name. I was actually going to call Oscar Ziggy as well. Bye, Ziggy.
Really?
Yeah.
He's gone now. Bye, Ziggy.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, babe. I know that you are obviously like manic busy at the moment, especially after your amazing stint on Sunday. Congratulations. And what a time as well. Have you trained for the marathon? We'll get onto this, by the way. I'm just being nosy.
Yeah, no, I was training. I actually wanted to do a lot better than that, babe. Like, I was really injured, so...
Yeah, what was it? You pulled your hamstring or quad or something?
No, so I went too hard in my training. So by the time the marathon came, like, I was injured. So it was like...
Classic.
I pushed myself too fast. Literally, yeah, it's just typical me. I'm too competitive, but I finished it.
So I know, she's super competitive, guys. But we'll get onto that in a second. First of all, I want to ask you some quick fire questions, okay? So we can get to know you a little bit better. Not that I don't know you already. So first of all, ready? Three words to describe yourself. Go.
Kind, loving, and crazy.
I agree. Okay, Thailand or the UK?
Thailand.
I know. When I was writing that, I was like, obviously she's going to say Thailand. Okay, favorite workout song?
Oh, I do like a bit of... I'm liking a bit of house music at the moment, like jumpy, like disco house. I couldn't give you a song, but that's the genre.
Okay, fine. And Love Island or The Challenge?
The Challenge.
Right, okay.
I was thinking, like, there's too many pros and cons, but The Challenge, definitely. I only did it, yeah.
That's because you are competitive, though. I would have said Love Island because that was what I hated about The Challenge. I was like, I can't cope with people being mean to me.
I won, though, so I guess, like, I can't really complain.
All right, she won. Okay, first of all, let's talk about the marathon again. So I know that you were injured, but how did it go? Like, what tips would you have in people leading up to it? How long did you train for? Obviously, your first tip would be don't overtrain. Give us your three top tips about training for a marathon.
I think for me, leave yourself plenty of time for training, and build yourself up to it. And obviously, I think where I went wrong is I was like really competitive and I wanted to get like a really good time, but I had never even run that far before. But I ran a really good 32 kilometers. So during the training, you do like long runs. So I did the 32K. I only did one of them and it was really good. And then I did a half marathon, but I just went at a pace that was like too fast for me. And then when I ended up doing the run after that, that's when, I'd overdone it. But everyone says this. So I feel like it's like typical advice. But when you first start the marathon, like the crowd and the adrenaline and everything's going and you just think you can run it super fast.
Yeah.
But you just can't.
You need to have some self-control to like not go too fast too soon.
Pace yourself. Yeah. But I think this all comes when you do marathons like over again. Do you know what I mean? But I definitely like thought I was pacing myself at the start. But I couldn't help. My legs just gave up. Like I actually physically felt okay, but it was my legs that gave up on me.
Ugh.
But I'm saying it like I failed. Like, a 4:44 is a really good time.
Yeah, exactly. You still did it. Better than I can do.
I was expecting to do 4 hours. Yeah. I don't know who I thought I was, but yeah.
Okay, next time.
It's actually really fun.
Would you do another one?
You know, on the day, I was like, I will never do that again.
But now, afterwards, now, love that.
Yeah, 100% I would. Maybe I'll do the London one next year.
I thought you were going to say next week. I was like, okay, hon, you need to chill out.
Okay. I can't walk, babe. I can't walk right now.
Okay, so let's talk about the reason you did the London Marathon this weekend. You did it to raise money for Little Lady
Locks. The Manchester one.
Oh, I mean, Manchester Marathon, yes. So let's, first of all, talk about your struggles with alopecia, with stress-related alopecia. How important was it to raise money for this charity?
For me, when I do these fundraisers, I have to really be invested because it is hard, like raising money and dedicating your platform and time and everything like to a cause like that, because I do get really emotionally invested. But when I did meet these kids, like, wow, Gabs, like, they are just so inspiring. Like, they're 14, 12, 16, but literally I'm talking to them and they're so mature because they've been through so much. Like, they've got cancer, leukemia, two of them are still going through their treatment now, and like the braveness that they show, like the strength that they show, it's like I need to raise money for this charity to help more girls like them. Because when I was working with the charity, I've been going to the salon now for months, and I've seen the difference that it makes, like, then these girls receive their wigs because they're going through their hair loss, do you know what I mean? And then I can relate it back to when I lost my hair and how it made me feel. And your hair is like your identity, and it affects your confidence so much. And that was when I was like a 28-year-old woman. And I'm like, imagine going through that as a kid. Like, imagine feeling depression, anxiety, all these struggles that we face as adults, but as a kid, just because you lost your hair. Like, so for me, it meant a lot to me to, you know, initially I put the target for £10,000 because one wig cost £500 to make, and they had a long list of referrals of little girls that were waiting for a wig, right? And then when I promoted the fundraiser, the list grew, and then so I had to raise the target because I was like, I can't just raise £10,000 now. it's my fault that the charity is getting bigger. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think about this. I'm like, I raised the target. And then thank God we've like doubled the target.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, so when I shaved my hair off and I didn't, literally, I didn't realize how much it would make people donate, like the fact that I shaved my head. But,
and also, can we just say, trust you to suit it? It's so annoying. If I did that, I texted you, didn't I? I was like, I would look like Matt Lucas if I shaved my head. And here she is, just looking fucking gorgeous.
Like, I feel like a boy, babe. Honestly, like, I'd be lying if I said that. I feel super confident and, you know, I love it. Like, it's weird, like, for me to not have my hair. But if it means that I have to take a bit of confidence away to give these girls their confidence, then
I think you look beautiful. Go shorter and bleach it, go white.
I know, I think, you know what, it's growing already. I'm gonna get a little shape up before I go to Thailand.
I love it. Okay, so can we just pull it back a little bit then? I know that you had alopecia and that was due to stress, which is obviously so sad. Can we talk a little bit more about how it did affect your confidence and your mental health? How did you overcome that? Like, you know, did you have to take the opportunity to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, I know that this is happening to me, but there's all these other amazing things that are happening to me. Did you try and reframe it to something more positive? How did you overcome it?
I think initially when you go through it, like initially it wasn't so big. It was just a little patch right here. Yeah. And then it just grew and it grew and it grew. And I think with alopecia areata, the condition that I had, it's the unknown. Ugh. And that is the fear that causes more stress because it's getting bigger and it's like, oh my God, is it going to get worse? Is it going to like be all my head? Like, how big is this patch going to grow? And you can't help but look at yourself in the mirror and like concentrate on it. And I think for months, like it really, really, really affected me. Because I was looking at it and it was a reminder of everything that came that caused it in the first place. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So it was like I was trying to overcome a situation that happened and that caused me a lot of trauma and a lot of stress, and I was trying to overcome that, and now I'm dealing with a new situation that is a result of the old situation.
Yeah. It's like a vicious circle. Yeah,
that's what was so difficult. And I think in your head it's a lot worse than what it is. Like, as I actually look back at it, I think, okay, it was just a patch in my head. Like, but the feeling that I felt at the time, like, I can't compare that to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And I think I have to say, like, the way you were so raw about it and the way that you did share your journey, maybe that was kind of a bit of a coping mechanism for you as well. But now look what you've done, like, because of it. It's almost been like, I was going to say a domino effect, but in a positive way, because now you're able to help people that are going through it, you know, for different reasons, obviously through cancer and stuff like that as well. But I just think it's really like inspiring, and, you know, for people, Kaz, I would never shave my head because I am obviously just far too vain. So honestly, my hat comes off to you. I think you're amazing for what you're doing, and I'm gonna cry. I hope this is just like,
trust me. I'm looking at myself and they're like, whoa.
Yeah, literally, since she's been on, she's just feeling the hair. But I think that's when you start dating someone new and you feel the hair and they've just shaved your head and you're like, ooh, yeah. So if I see you, I'm just gonna be like feeling your head. But honestly, I think you're amazing. And speaking of which, you've also done so much work in Thailand as well for the kids over there. You built a school and stuff. Like, that is incredible. And you're now doing your fitness retreats over there. I want to come on one. Tell me about what you're doing in Thailand at the moment.
So I think a lot of people know me to have a passion for Muay Thai now. I've been doing it for a good few years. And of course, my mum is Thai, so I feel very connected.
She shaved her head as well, didn't she?
Oh yeah, shout out Mumsy.
She's so cute.
You know what she did? She literally went, I'm gonna do it too, like on the day. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah. And they were like, how short do you wanna go? And she was just like, the same.
Oh.
And I was like, are you sure? She's like, yeah. And then they shaved her head and she was just sat there like meditating. She was so cute.
Oh. It's because she loves you so much though. She like, I feel like you and her are like two peas in a pod, like just do everything together.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on, tell us about Thailand. Go on.
So, I've done a lot of work with the Thai kids out there that train Muay Thai, and they needed a a new house basically and a new gym because they had the land and they didn't have enough money to build. So that was another project that I did that just got really big. And I think obviously you get, it's like so rewarding to like give back. And obviously with things that I'm passionate about, I obviously love Muay Thai and the kids were amazing. Mm. And the same with this project, like these kids are absolutely amazing. Like they deserve everything. Like, and I think I just get so emotionally invested in that. And then I think I've got this platform and sorry, my dog's going mental.
Ziggy, I've got this chill platform. Out.
I've got this platform and I just like, what am I doing with it? Like I need to do something, you know? And I already know the effect of what my platform can do through the Thai kid and that project. So I thought, like, let me try and do that again. Obviously, it's not on such a big scale. Like, that was, like, hundreds of thousands of pounds and stuff. But this is, like, a charity that desperately needed help. And Ashley, the owner of the charity, she was struggling. She was literally in tears to me, had a breakdown. She's like, I'm going to shut the charity down. Like, we don't have the money. And I thought, wow, like, what you're doing is so incredible. And it just doesn't have the light, basically. Like, people need to see what you're doing. I'm going to help you do that. And I'm going to use my platform to do that. So, yeah, it's just great.
That is amazing. I'm just so excited to see how this unfolds for you with everything. Because thank I feel you. Like everything you set your mind to really does, you know, turn to gold. So can I just ask then thank on you. For a person...
I just want to talk about, sorry, Combat Collective.
Okay. Oh, yeah, go on. Combat Collective is your fitness. Yeah, is yeah, the yeah. fitness retreat. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so Combat Collective is a Muay Thai community for women. And we do classes and courses in London and Manchester. And now we've done a couple retreats in Thailand. And yeah, so the space that I've created with that is just like me and you, Gabby, we know, yeah, we come from an industry that drag women down, like, bro, the press, like the public, the platform, like we're always getting scrutinized, like as a woman.
Yeah.
So you know that we've been through it. Yeah. I wanted to make a space where women are celebrated. Like we feel powerful. We feel amazing. Like we are literally have the space to just be whoever we want to be, but then also bring that Muay Thai aspect to it because that's how Muay Thai makes me feel.
Yeah. Strong. You are. I would hate strong. To fight you.
No, because sometimes you don't feel strong, but when I hit the pads, bro, I feel strong. Yeah. So, yeah, so bringing Muay Thai and women together and having this space where women can feel that, like, it's just been so amazing to see that grow as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do your own retreats, like, how powerful is it, like, when, like, women, like, come together, they don't know each other, and they just, like, let out everything, and they're just celebrated and seen.
Honestly, it's like, such a raw kind of connection that people yes. have with people that don't know each other, but they've come to the same, they chose to come to the same spot.
Exactly.
To, like, yeah.
fitness.
Be
yeah.
open, yeah. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
You've from what I see of the Combat Collective retreats as well, I want to go on one. They just look amazing, and obviously it's in Thailand as well, which is just, like, even better than being, you know, in the bloody UK.
Yeah.
So
it's not just Muay Thai. We're running, we're doing yoga, we're doing jiu-jitsu, we go to like Muay Thai fight.
Oh my god, I'm coming meditation. On one. Can I come on
we
one?
We have sound bath. Of course you can. I've literally said come. I think you're busy on the next one, but
they're at the same god, time, I think the same one. Okay, so let me ask you then. So I know that you do all this stuff for other people though, but like would you say that fitness helped you and your mental health? Like hitting those pads when all that shit was going on, was that what got you through as well?
Oh my god, yeah, literally. Like any times that I've felt like down, depressed, I've always trained. And I think that's what got me through, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I think initially when I found my love for Muay Thai, that was from my Love Island breakup. I went to Thailand, I did a Muay Thai camp, and that's when, yeah, I fell in love with it. And obviously, I've just stuck to it. Like, I'm not saying like I'm professional or she's sick. Anything like
she's
that,
putting but... it. No, she's not owning it here. I just want to say, like, I've done Muay Thai as well, and I'm like, I can pick up things quite. I think because it's quite, you know, coordinated as a dancer. I felt like, you know, I picked up quite easy. Yeah. Yeah. But the actual getting in the ring and fighting people, I'm like, oh, my face, my tits.
I literally don't do that. But I want to show women that you can literally, you can train it and not be a fighter.
But yeah.
Muay Thai, it's a very like dominant, aggressive sport. You know, it's very masculine. Like, I want to show women that you can do it for fun and love it, and you don't have to be fighting. If a lot of girls have had fights since joining Combat Collective, they've actually surpassed me in Muay Thai.
Oh my god, I love it!
I don't want to fight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's
it's fun to see people growing.
100%, and I think that's what I was going to say about the stuff that you do, your classes and your retreats and stuff. It is an open space for. I've seen people. Go that I've obviously never even done Muay Thai before, but it is one of those sports that, like, it's just fun to do as well. Like, you can let it all out on the pad. So I feel like if anyone doesn't know what Muay Thai is, I hope I'm saying it right, but go and see Kaz's page, go and look at Combat Collective, and just go and sit, like, go to a class and just go and have some fun with it, because it is so fun to do. Even if you think that you're just flailing your arms around, it is so fun to do.
No, literally, guys, just download the Combat Collective app and come and join. I hate any combat sports.
Can I ask you?
I'm loving it.
You're talking about being competitive and all these sports. Tell me about the challenge then. So you won the challenge and world championships last year, which is incredible. Twice.
Right. Yeah, I won the UK version, and then that's when I had to go to the world version.
Well, I remember I saw you just after you'd won the first one, and you had to stand up with your partner, was it Johnny or something, for 48 hours. You couldn't sleep. You had to stand up or whatever. You just weren't allowed to sleep.
The final was
you had to be awake for 48 hours.
Oh, yeah, we had to be awake. Yeah. We had to be awake, and if you fell asleep, you got electrocuted.
The challenge.
You had to wear a dog collar, an electrocuting dog collar, and it was so tight, and I literally couldn't breathe, and everyone thought I was going to fall asleep, and I was like, you don't know me. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're so competitive. All right, listen, right, really quickly, I just want to say... We have less than a minute left, so if it cuts off, I just want to say I love you. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey. It'd be amazing.
No,
apparently, you're rumored to go on Celebrity SAS, which would be amazing. I hope you win. If you're watching this, put her on the show. She'd be amazing. Honestly, Kaz, keep doing what you're doing. It's been so inspiring to watch you grow and overcome all of these obstacles that have been put in your way. So. You know, hands
thank
up, you are amazing to see.
I love you.
Oh, thanks. And Ziggy, it's so nice to meet you. I'll have to come see you in Manchester soon.
See you soon.
Thank you, my guys. Lots of love.
Bye.
How amazing is she? Honestly, she's just one of those people that every time a post come up on my page, I'm like, I'm not doing enough with my life. She's just amazing. So coming off after this, I'll be joined by Sabi Care, self-love coach. Can't wait to chat to her. I'll see you soon.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
Hey!
FUBAR Radio presents.
Access all areas.
Mark from Married at First Sight UK.
See, at the wedding, you told Sean you were 26, but you're actually 36.
Oh, yeah.
So drop in that decade. We ain't gone 1 or 2 years either side. What was going through your head when you thought, I'm going to shave off 10 years.
A 26. Third of your life.
Yeah.
It was an instant reaction. As soon as anyone says to me, how old are you? I'm like 26. I just stopped counting after 26. Would I have told him? Probably not.
No. Yeah. Ever?
Well, maybe when we're 80 years old and we've got the grandkids running around. And
except
like,
you wouldn't be 80 years old. You'd be 98.
I'd be 26 still. I'd be going around the corner for some more injections.
Politics Uncensored.
Joining me now, the former leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, MP. And there you are stood with hundreds of thousands of people at Glastonbury singing, "Oh, Jeremy Corbyn." What is that like?
It was quite extraordinary. It was an amazing experience, and I was very pleased we did it. The office got very excited about Glastonbury. Every single person in the office thought it was necessary for them to be at Glastonbury with me.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
Every single one said it was really necessary for me to come.
The Dating Show.
I'm friends with a fair few sort of exes, and I think you can be friends with an ex, but I genuinely do. But I do think that timing is everything with that.
I think it depends what you cast as a friend.
Yeah, are you talking about, you know, someone you're going to hang out with on your sofa? Like, if you've already shagged, you know, isn't that a bit weird? Or is
no,
it
I
weird?
Think that's a different level of friend. I think that's a different level of friend. You can be friends with someone. You can't be, like, best fucking friends with someone. I mean, I've got exes that I talk to about their current partners and whatever else, and they'll tell me about that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't say, oh, do you want to come over for fucking Chinese and chill on the sofa?
You're listening to Food Bar Radio.
Food Bar Radio. And welcome back. Joining me now, we have the beautiful Sabi Kerr, self-love coach. Thank you so much for coming on today's show. She's actually in the studio, guys. Say welcome. Hey. Well, say hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. So we actually used to work together, didn't we? All those years ago. I haven't seen you, but you're still as gorgeous as ever. Okay, so tell me, you've changed jobs since I last saw you. So tell me, how did you become a self-love coach?
Yeah, well, I've been teaching yoga for a long time and teaching movement and helping people connect to their bodies and loving that. But there was something I needed more. I needed more than just like a quick movement class and then that's it. I was like, I want to help people connect to themselves on a deeper level.
I love that.
To who they are, to what they want to do in their life, to the relationships they want to have, to like the work they want to do, all of the other things beyond just the physical.
You must have just seen it in people then. You're like, see people come to class or whatever and see how they're trying to better themselves, but seeing that it comes from a deeper place within. You know, don't get me wrong, we spoke about it earlier. I spoke with somebody else about it earlier, how we use training and stuff to boost our mental health, but sometimes, like, when you walk out of class, you've just done something for yourself, but the problem still remains, you know?
Yeah.
So is there any recurring hurdles you see when it comes to women who are struggling with practicing self-love?
Yeah, it's always thinking that when they have the thing, all of a sudden, their lives are going to be amazing. When I've got the body, all of a sudden, I'm going to feel happy. When I've got the man, all of a sudden, I'm going to feel happy. When I've got the money, when I've got the job, like when they think they have these external things, I think all of a sudden, they're going to feel happy. Mm. But if you haven't done the work inside to feel happy already, there's always going to be something that doesn't quite feel right, and you're always going to be searching.
You're always chasing your tail. Yeah. Okay, fine. So I think it's not about like self-love, it's about money. But apparently it's a proven stat that say if you won the lottery, I think it's like a year later, you're still back to the happiness that you was the year before, you know, before you had the money. Because you just get used to it.
Yeah.
So you grow your bum and then you get used to having a big bum. Yeah. Or you get the abs, you know what I mean?
Totally.
So how important is it for everyone to practice self-love when it comes to overall well-being?
This work is for everyone. And I just want to say that it's for everyone, young, old, man, woman, like children, literally everyone feels better, feels more secure in themselves when they learn to love who they are.
Do you think it should be something, so I love the way you say it was across everyone, but even children, like it should be instilled in you from a young age to practice self-love?
They need to teach this at school.
Yeah.
You know, because kids already age 6, 7 are already comparing themselves, already judging their bodies, or already not feeling good enough.
Especially because of the world of social media now, where there's always, I mean, I can unfollow people as much as you want, but the explore page just shows you things all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so things we need to learn in school at a young age. How to do your tax return and self-love.
Oh my God.
Okay, so what is your favorite form of exercise to get in tune with your body?
Yeah, anything that helps me connect to like my sensuality. So dancing, it's gonna be dancing. I am a yoga and movement teacher and a dance teacher as well. And my like yoga practice is called sensual flow. So it's like bringing yoga together with sensual movement and breath and meditation. So you get like all of it in one sexy practice.
So what does that look like then?
Imagine a traditional yoga class, but without feeling like you have to get your body in a certain pose. Your body just like moves how it wants to move. Your hips can move, your like shoulders can move. It's almost like imagine free flowing sensual movement, but together with a yoga class.
So it's a bit more like primal then.
Yeah, primal, like animalistic, a bit freer, kind of. More like, what do you need rather than you have to do this?
Yeah, like stand in this pose and try and balance, and then you're like looking around, you know, if I fall over, I've got to start again. I'm so embarrassed. But also, you know what's interesting about what you said about the music as well? Like, because music does bring out emotions in people. Yeah. You know, I have a certain song that I listen to if I'm on my way to like an important meeting or something. It was actually the song that I was listening to on repeat before Love Island when I got the job. So it's a song that brings me, like, you know, positive, empowering, like, memories or feelings. Yeah. And then there's other songs that come on and I'm like, next, I can't listen to that. Yeah. So isn't it interesting how movement combined with music can help you feel a certain kind of way?
Absolutely. It shifts your state so quickly. This is why I'm now a DJ. Like, I started learning to DJ like a while ago, and now I DJ as well, because it's the same thing. It helps you connect to something.
So what kind of music is it that you listen to in the sessions? Is it the kind of music that you play in your DJ sets as well? Is it I feel like I'm listening here and, like, you know, kind of jungly vibes.
Yeah, I love so many different music genres. I feel like my taste is so varied. But for the Central Flow classes, it's like soft, sexy, feminine, like woman power.
Love
kind
that.
Of songs.
Love that. Okay, so speaking of women, then it seems that self-esteem issues amongst young women is on the rise. Why do you think that is?
I mean, look at the world.
Yeah.
Look at social media. Look at magazines. Look at all of the stories we've been sold that say we have to look a certain way.
Mm.
And if you don't, then you're not good enough. It's like, no wonder.
100%. And also, it changes so much as well. Mm. Like, we've seen it over the years how, you know, being skinny was the best. Yeah. Now having a pear-shaped figure is the best. Or now it's like abs, hybrid training, so it's being as lean as possible. I'm like, which one is it? What do you want? What
exactly
do you want?
That's the thing, and it just shows you can never be enough.
Yeah.
If you keep trying to chase external expectations.
I suppose that's like what you would practice then is being the best. Like, I know it's like sounds cliche, but being the best version of yourself. Like, what is it that you want to be?
Yeah.
Like, regardless of everything else, like, how do you want to appear or like show up as yourself, is it like
totally. So totally, and in all areas, for your body, like what feels like a really good way to train for you, for your life, for your relationships, for your work, like what feels right for you.
So do you do like one-on-ones with people?
Yeah, so I do one-to-one coaching, so I have one-to-one coaching sessions as well as workshops and a membership, all kinds of beautiful things.
Okay, so if I was to come into a session with you, what would it look like? Would we break down all elements of my life and kind of see which aspects might be knocking my self-confidence or, you know, contributing, or probably look at the positives as well, I suppose?
Yeah, so I'm trained in multiple areas because I love to do so many things. I couldn't just stick to one thing. So most people tend to come to me for a few different things, either like the sensuality, sexuality, pleasure piece, or the relationships, dating, love piece, or the business, work, creativity, what they want to do in their life piece. And the interesting thing is, regardless of what external things they think they want, it always comes back to the same thing.
What's that?
Their self-love, how they feel about themselves, how they're blocking themselves, how they don't feel like they're good enough to be in the relationship, to have the job of their dreams, to feel incredible in their body.
And does that stem back from younger life, or, you know, where does it normally come from?
Most of the time, either younger life, childhood, or when they were growing up, or just things that they've seen in society that have taught them for some reason that they're not enough just as they are.
Okay, so top tips then for anyone listening.
Yeah.
What are your top tips for practicing self-love?
Yeah. Find a movement practice that helps you really appreciate your body.
As in like a kind of training?
A kind of training. And it doesn't even matter what it is, but it's for you and something that helps you feel good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Second top tip. It's going to be another movement practice. Dancing in front of the mirror every day and feeling yourself.
Yes.
And even better if you want to do it naked. And just like naked sexy mirror dancing.
Yeah, okay, fair. I'm going to try that later.
I recommend it to everyone. And then just also know that self-love is a journey. It's not like all of a sudden you're there and you feel like 100% self-loving all day, every day, and that's it. It's actually just a daily journey of appreciating you, all parts of you.
I love that. I feel like that's a very good point, as in there's peaks and troughs with it. You know, some days I'm like, you look good today. And then other days I'm like, girl, you need a sunbed.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Yeah. But I think I actually said to one of my clients yesterday, she sent me a message and she said, I normally avoid the mirror because she then picks out loads of things that she doesn't like about herself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Maybe sad, because like, look at yourself in the mirror and think, what are things that you actually appreciate about yourself? It doesn't necessarily, I like my boobs or I like my arms, things like that. But like, look at yourself and go, you did this for me today. Like, you got up and you did that workout, or, you know, you got up and you went into that meeting and you bossed it. Stuff that, like, you kind of, word of the day, reframes it into appreciating yourself rather than just putting yourself down. Because it is so easy to do that. I think we're just built as humans to put ourselves down, don't you think?
Totally. We're built to, like, grab onto and hold onto the negative things and not appreciate all of the incredible things that are going on.
So where can we find you then on social media? Is it just Sabby Kerr?
So it's my name, sabby.kerr. My website, sabbykerr.com. I've also got lots of free bundles and practices to help you connect. I've got a free Central Flow class for anyone that wants to play with
the
class I mentioned. You can download that.
I feel like I'm going to download that, and I'm also going to dance naked in the mirror later today. That's what everyone has to do today. That's everyone's motive. Thank you so much for coming on today's show. It's been amazing to talk to you. I feel like we definitely need to all be practicing more self-love. So you are definitely an advocate for that. So bless you for coming on, my babes. And hopefully I will see you again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll come to you on one of your classes.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, that was the beautiful Sabby Kerr. That she's just so gorgeous. She, like, oozes self-love. But, like, it's funny, isn't it? Because I feel like some people would look at self-love and go, oh, is self-love just, you know, confidence? Or is it, you know, behaving a certain kind of way? And, like, you know, almost being... love yourself, you know, that kind of vibe. But it's not. It's so much more than that. Obviously, there's some people that you might think that for. But when I look at someone like Sabby, she just, like, oozes, like, yes, confidence, but just in a way that makes you want to, like, love yourself more. Do you get what I mean? And, like, being more in tune with yourself. And that's definitely something I've been talking about on my social media recently. Stuff that I want to work on, you know. So, as I said, like, some days I love myself more and then other days I give myself a hard time. It's because we're always thinking this day and age, pushing yourself to be the best, like, do better, be the best, be doing more, comparing yourself to others, like, you know. But instead of doing that, just appreciate what other people are doing. Like Kaz, for example, she's doing such amazing things. And that just, instead of looking at that going, oh, I'm not doing enough. It's like, okay, well, what can I do more and be better and help other people, but then also look after myself as well, you know? So, yes. Anyway, I'm just rambling on now, but everyone needs to love themselves a bit more. So let's talk about this then. I have some listener questions and somebody has asked me about bulking and cutting. It's kind of what I've just been talking about with what we see on social media these days. There's always something that you should be doing, getting bigger, getting stronger, getting leaner. But it's not always necessary. So basically, Rob asks... is it necessary to go through the cycle of bulking or cutting, or can I build muscle in a more gradual way? So yes, I think it's ideal to focus on one or the other if you are a bodybuilder or if there's a goal in mind. For example, if you're going on holiday in a few months' time and you want to look a bit leaner, then you therefore would go into a deficit and probably up your cardio in order to try and expose the muscle mass that you've, you know, been working on. But there is a way to do both as well, but it's just about finding, it's almost like a hybrid approach, you know, like incorporating your resistance training, so that's your strength work, and really pushing yourself with progressive overload, you know, gradually getting heavier with your weights from week to week, and that's going to increase your muscle mass. But remembering that the more muscle mass you have also increases your metabolic rate as well, so you're going to be leaning up at the same time. So there is a way of doing both without, like, eating excessive amounts of calories in order to gain weight to then build muscle and blah blah blah. I would only recommend that really to someone that has a bigger, like, muscle mass achievement in sight, if you get what I mean, like someone that is bulking for bodybuilding competition, something like that. But I would always say though, there's a way of doing both. You just have to stay in maintenance and make sure that you're doing enough cardio at the same time as doing enough weights. There's a nicer combination, and your nutrition is absolutely vital and key in staying, in building lean muscle mass. So once again, staying in a maintenance calorie intake is going to A, fuel the gains that you're looking for, but also alongside cardio is going to keep you nice and lean. I was going to say shreddy, but that's obviously... the other version, cutting. So, okay, so moving on to, how do I know if I need a spot? Polly asks, what are your tips for asking trainers to spot me? So first of all, if you're going to be doing a heavy movement that you haven't done before, I would always suggest having somebody close by for safety matters, you know, making sure that you are not going to drop a barbell on your face, for example, in a bench press. So the thing is with spotting is that it is only that it's there. It's almost like placebo effect in a lot of ways, because it can, knowing that you've got somebody close by will probably help you gain the confidence to push a little bit heavier. But always, always try the movements without the heavy weights first and foremost, to check your technique, to check your breathing technique, to check that things are in the right place and that you're not going to overdo it. And I would always suggest only adding weight on that you know that you can do. You know, as you gain more confidence and as you like progressively overload, as I've just said, you will like kind of be able to gauge what your starting weight would be. But first and foremost, always use a weight that is going to be safe to use first of all, and then add weight as you go. And asking someone to spot you, listen, if you're a female, Polly, I assume, ask another girl that's around, say, oh, do you mind just jumping in and like making sure that I don't drop this barbell on my face? And once again, it's just placebo, just knowing that somebody's there to support you through it. And yeah, well, good luck with the gains, and I hope that you need a spot soon, because you're going to be lifting so heavy. Okay, on that note, guys, I am going to round up the show today. I think we've we have one more question. I've started weightlifting, but I cannot lift heavy because I have the weakest wrists ever. How do I improve my grip strength so I can build muscle? Okay, so this is amazing. Congratulations for coming into the weightlifting house. But yeah, trust me, I have so many of my clients that are like, I want to lift heavier, but it's my wrists that give up first. So first of all, you can get wrist straps. There's so many different variations that you can get. I actually like the ones that are like material. So they go around your wrist and then you wrap them around the bar once, and it literally just gives you that bit more of a slack. So it's not just all on the like strength of the hands. However, if you also want to build your wrist strength, it also comes down to hand strength as well. So you know what are great for these? Things like Pharma carries, like holding onto plates so you can build your fingertip strength and like the strength in your hands. Also doing things like having your hand over the edge of a table. So the edge of the table comes up to the end of your wrist, and holding a small dumbbell and doing almost like bicep curls, but just with your wrist. And that will also increase your wrist strength. There's doing things like forearm strength as well, like bicep curls. I feel like as females, sometimes we tend to miss out our arms because they do get worked in things, you know, like compound movements like back, chest, things like that. But actually focusing on doing just arm movements, so you know, your biceps, your triceps, and as I said, forearms, things like planks, things like tricep press-ups, like diamond press where your hands underneath your chest, just strengthening the lower part of our arms just as much as the upper, like our shoulders and stuff, is going to really help increase overall capacity to be able to do heavier movements. So yeah, let's not leave out the little muscles, because they are just as important. Okay, so now I am going to wrap up the show. I feel like I've done loads of talking today. It's because I've missed you guys. I haven't been here for a couple of weeks. But we've had an amazing show today. I've really enjoyed speaking to everybody. Make sure that if you've enjoyed today's show, you listen to next week's, you listen to the previous shows, because we've had some incredible guests on. And also send over any fitness-related questions that you have and want me to answer in this segment of next week's show. But until then, guys, have an amazing week. Go get lifting some weights, and I shall see you on the flip side. Goodbye.